The first thing on our agenda this morning is to approve the agenda. I added a couple of agenda items since the copy that went out last week. CSSA President Rock Kiswa will be addressing us early this morning. And Dr. Gertal had to leave Long Beach this morning, so she will not be on the agenda. Any additions to today's agenda? Do I have a motion to approve the agenda? By Aaron Patton, second. All those in favor of approving this agenda, say aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay, agenda's approved. Okay, minutes. I'll turn it over to our secretary, Jared Hoyle, to discuss the minutes for approval.
We had a couple corrections to the 2013 minutes. We had a couple awards that were misnamed, a couple with Rock. He got the 2013 GCSA Extension Award, the John Morley Distinguished Service Award, and we had a couple name changes on the 2013 just with corrections of spelling. Other than that, there was no changes to the 2013 minutes. If anybody has any other ones, please let me know, or we can make it aware right now. Do we have a motion to approve the 2013 minutes?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
2013 minutes approved. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you. And our new president communicated to me that if those awards weren't added to our archive, kneecaps would be broken. So I'm glad that we do have Rock now in the archives. Okay, before we get into our division report, I'd like to turn the podium over to incoming CSSA president and longtime friend of C5, Dr. Rock Kiswa.
Thanks, Doug, and I appreciate you giving me the next 45 minutes to talk about CSSA policy and other things. No, Eric Watkins does an excellent job of covering the brief talking points, so I'll let him do that. There's just a couple of things I want to say to this division in particular. If you were at the CSA award ceremony, you saw how well represented we were from top to bottom, from outstanding student to outstanding sort of a career award in Jim Beard, John Roberts, Jim Beard, and a lot in between, fellows and teaching awards and that sort of thing. That only happens because of the membership and putting forward nominations. And I'm going to tell you that it's very competitive. It's always very competitive, but at the end of the day, C5 shouldn't feel like they don't have the right to put those in. So continue to do it. You'll find yourself rewarded in recognition and some other things. I do appreciate last year when I was up here, I asked people to sort of aggressively put their names down for volunteer on committees. And as president-elect, that was one of the assignments I needed to do. And, you know, crop science has a gazillion committees, and so it's good when you have a friend or a colleague or somebody you know that thinks a little bit differently than the traditional crop scientist to put them on a committee. So many of you got invitations, some of you have replied, and I also kind of picked a few of you out and just stuck you on committees that I thought were relevant for what you did. So if you haven't replied, please do so. Otherwise, Rebecca at headquarters has to track you down, and there's usually a guy named Guido involved, somebody that Bruce Clark gets from New Jersey. So we want to try to avoid that as much as possible. We used to use Frank to get those people, but they just talked you to death. I have one more thing to do. Doug, if you'd stand up, please. On behalf of CSSA, it's my pleasure to present you with the Crop Science Society of America a gratitude certificate for dedication and service as the 2014 C5 Turfgrass Science Division Chair. It's a good task, and you did a great job, so thank you.
Thank you, Rock. Appreciate that.
Thank you, and keep up the good work. It's you are on the radar like you've never been on the board, not because I'm there, but because of the work that you do. So you can need to continue to do it, and you'll get the recognition and the support and everything else that goes with that that you all deserve. So thanks again.
Thank you. Okay, before we get into the division report, a couple of housekeeping items. One, I do realize it's warm in here. It's been warm since 8 a.m. when the education symposium started. I've made multiple requests at headquarters to get the heat turned down, but maybe the president has more pull. I don't know. But I think it was about 60 degrees in here on Monday, and now it's closer to 80 degrees. So, fellas, if you'd like to remove your coats, you won't offend anybody. And for those of you that are on the program this morning, I ask that you sit towards the front of the room. We are on a tight schedule, so if we could cut down the travel time to and from the podium, that would be great. Okay, our C5 program this year. Let's start with some numbers. The first four rows in this table summarize our graduate student competition volunteered papers. We had 44 oral papers in the four judging categories, and we had 36 poster presentations spread out among those four categories. And those numbers are down a little bit from 2013, down about 10%. We have a total of 80 this year, and I think we had just over 90 last year. Long Beach is expensive. Maybe we decided to take our spouses instead of our graduate students to come to Long Beach. I'm not sure, but graduate student numbers are down a little bit. But the upside is our total number of presentations volunteered from C5 is up. You know, we're down. We had a total of 71 oral presentations, which is down 10 from last year, but we're up 24 posters from last year. And so I think if you total these, that puts us at 183 volunteered papers in the C5 program. And I know several of our primary C5 members presented in soil science divisions, and when you count all those, we're up over 200 papers, so very well represented this week. And you know, I look at the oral to poster ratio, how the oral is going down and the poster is going up, and Aaron Patton, I think it's not just Dr. Riker who's not giving oral presentations anymore. So I think we have some others that it would be great to up those oral numbers. We had three symposia that C5 either sponsored primarily or was a co-sponsor, one with nutrient cycling where eight papers were presented on Monday afternoon. We had six papers in our traditional C5 symposia yesterday afternoon on genetic engineering. Dr. Mia Lewis will be summarizing that symposia later today. And then we had six presentations this morning in contemporary approaches to student learning and extension education. And I attended parts of all three of those symposia, very well attended and very well done. So I really appreciate the hard work of our chairs in arranging those. And when you count all of these papers, we're well above 200 papers in our session. Some other highlights from the week. We started off at the Stiegler fundraiser. Mike Richardson will be commenting more about that Sunday afternoon with the golf outing, a great way to start the week. Lots of awards Monday morning at the CSSA Awards Breakfast. And if you haven't attended that awards breakfast in the past, it really is a nice event. C5 isn't always this successful, but we usually have a few from our group receiving fellows and other awards. And it's great to see all of the young students there receiving awards, and it's a nice breakfast and good fellowship. So I encourage you to attend at future meetings. Just like last year, if you look at the minutes, Jay McCurdy and Jeff Reinhart placed first and third in the 5K. So again, C5's not only represented well in the science, but also on the race course. So very well done, fellas. Way to go. And Aaron Patton also ran in that race, but he didn't let me know what his place was. So he didn't get a medal. So, but he was out there, so that's very impressive. And then finally, so another highlight of this week, because Dr. Beard received the Presidential Award on Monday morning, Spoke with Rock earlier in the summer, shortly after we found out that he was going to receive that prestigious award, and we thought it was appropriate that C5 especially recognized his accomplishments. And we had a very nice reception Monday evening in the Hyatt. The only problem was the room was too small. It was overflowing. I think we had close to 200 folks show up for that event. And I think that meant a lot to Dr. Beard and Harriet and his son, Jim, and his wife, Kathy. They were very happy to see such a big turnout. So I appreciate everybody turning out for that event. And thank you. Something that was very eye-opening for me as chair is putting together budgets for things like the Beard reception and the industry reception. It is truly eye-opening how expensive it is to have food and drink catered at a convention center or a convention center hotel. And we absolutely could not have pulled off this reception without major support from the USGA. I think I saw Kim Arusha in the room earlier. Thank you very much for what helping out with that event. And also the Lawn Institute, Turfgrass Producers International, and the Michigan Turfgrass Foundation all chipped in as well. So thank you to all who supported the Beard reception. And that's all I have for the division report, so I'll turn it over to Eric Watkins for the CSSA board update.
Thanks, Doug. Just got a few things to go over. First, publications. You'll hear more about publications later. The digital library, which was started about a year and a half ago, I guess, in official capacity after page charges are dropped, is continuing to grow. The second number is most important. We really want to see a major increase in institutional subscriptions. That's where the income really comes, especially international consortia and so forth, and that's really going pretty well. They're continuing to look for new opportunities there. I believe you'll hear more about the new journal Crop Forage and Turfgrass Management in a little bit that is replacing Applied Turfgrass Science. And then Plant Genome, some of you may publish in that journal, but it's a newer journal in the mix and has a quickly rising impact factor, which is great news for that journal. Science policy. Some of you may have had the opportunity to go to congressional visit days before. I went last year. It was a great opportunity. I'd really encourage graduate students in the C5 to apply for this. More information can be found by going to the science policy table down in the exhibit hall, and it's a great opportunity to talk about your work, turfgrass science research, with congressional staff, members of Congress, and so forth. The grand challenges for crop science are currently undergoing some revision. You might have some opportunities to give feedback on that, so please do. There's a new communications committee set up in the society. Some of you may be asked to participate in that. They're really talking a lot about making sure that we communicate our science effectively to the public. Membership has slightly increased recently. It's not a huge number, but there is an increase, and a lot of it's student-driven, which is really good for the future of the society. Budget, we have a small operating loss currently, and this was expected given the changes, the financial changes that went along with getting rid of page charges, so this is not unexpected. However, those operating losses are more than covered by investment income, and there's plenty reserved, so we should be okay right now. It's something the board's keeping an eye on, though, going forward. The 2015 meeting is in Minneapolis, and it hasn't snowed yet in Minneapolis, although it might tonight, so... We got Skyways, so toughen up and come join us next year. And that's it for me. Aaron Patton will take over as board rep beginning in January, so if you have any concerns, you can contact him. Thanks.
Okay, Dr. Patton is next on the program to discuss some changes with the Grau Award Committee.
Okay, thanks, Doug. This year I had the pleasure of serving as chair of the Grau Award Committee. This is actually not a C5 committee, even though we think of this as a turfgrass award. This is not a C5 committee, but instead a CSSA award and a committee led by them. Let me read a description of the award to you, and then I'll talk about our winner and a few other things. Fred B. Grau Turfgrass Science Award is presented in recognition of significant career contributions in turf science. Contributions may include outstanding research, teaching, extension, commercial, or administrative activities, or a combination of these activities. The award consists of a certificate, a complimentary ticket to the awards presentation, which was $5 this year, and an honorarium of $1,000. The significance and originality of basic or applied research is part of the award criteria. Teaching ability and effectiveness are also part of the criteria. Planning and implementation of extension programs and demonstrated impact, development and implementation of significant industry programs, and administrative ability and effectiveness are all part of the criteria. The total impact of these activities on turfgrass science nationally and internationally is considered. And also, this award does have a stipulation that contributions on which the nomination is based must have been made within the past 15 years of the nominee's career. We had five excellent nominees for this award, so I appreciate all of you that wrote letters and submitted those recommendations. Ultimately, Bert McCarty was chosen as our 2014 Fred V. Grau Turfgrass Science Award winner. And as you know, Bert couldn't make it this week, so please congratulate Bert the next time you see him. The committee was made up of myself, Bingrui Wong, Tony Koski, Yeling Chen, Brian Unruh, Scott Warnke, and Ben Worley. We also took upon our part of our committee's efforts this year was to revise the guidelines for this committee. They're similar to bylaws, but not technically considered bylaws. And these were last updated in 1995, so they had quite a few things that were needed to be updated in them. I won't bother going through that list of things. Brian Unruh has agreed to take on chair responsibilities next year, so if you have suggestions for or nominations for next year's award, please see Brian with those suggestions. Also, just because of the structure of this committee, we have seven members, but because of the rotation, we actually have five rolling off that committee. Hopefully that won't be a problem if we get some of these guideline modifications accepted in the future. So we're looking for volunteers to serve on this committee, and there are several different ways that you can volunteer. Ultimately, it's the CSSA president, or at least the executive committee, that will decide who's going to be put on this particular committee. But if you'd like to volunteer for this committee, please let either myself or Brian or Rock know, and we can make sure that your name gets put forward when they make those selections. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Aaron.
Okay, Dale Bremer will be giving us the technical editor report.
Thank you, Doug. Well, it's a pleasure to serve as technical editor of Crop Science along with Paul Raymer. So first, to dive into it, I would like to sincerely thank all of you who have submitted papers to Crop Science, as well as those of you who have reviewed papers. Article length continues to increase and is now at 10.2 pages in Crop Science. That's across all divisions. Crop Science is on pace to meet or exceed the recent peak of 877 submissions in 2013. Foreign submissions outpace U.S. submissions 2-1, about. In 2013, the acceptance rate was 23% for foreign submissions and 38% for U.S. submissions. For C5, the acceptance rate was a little higher than that, about 44%. In C5, foreign submissions represent a small fraction of total submissions, or only about 4 out of a projected 45 submissions in 2014. Submissions this year are down in C5 from 68 papers in 2013 to about 45 projected in 2014. Overall, C5 has been very consistent for many years, so this may be just a slower year than usual. Nevertheless, we strongly encourage you to continue submitting your best work to Crop Science. Average days to first decisions for C5 is 52. This is an average and varies according to many factors, including time spent with outside reviewers, which emphasizes the importance of timely reviews. The impact factor is now at 1.478, which is down slightly again for the third year in a row. Overall, Crop Science ranked number 27 out of 78 titles in the agronomy category based on impact factor. The actual significance of the impact factor is debatable. However, it has become an important metric in evaluating scientific journals, and many other authors consider it as important when considering where to submit their research. Therefore, we strongly encourage members to submit high-quality original research articles, but also useful review and interpretation articles and opinion or perspective articles, which all of which can help improve the impact factor for crop science. One of the most pressing problems of our associate editors is finding enough reviewers for our papers. This can include a disproportionate number of requests that are declined, but also can include non-responses to their requests. All of these factors can substantially delay the review process. As members of C5, we all benefit when others agree to review our papers. Therefore, when you are asked, please return the favor by agreeing to review papers whenever possible and by responding in a timely manner. Finally, I would like to thank the associate editors of C5 for their dedicated service, including Cale Bigelow, Ambika Chandra, Michelle DaCosta, Scott Ebden, Kevin Frank, Brian Horgan, Mike Richardson, Patrick McCullough, and Karen Harris-Schultz. I also acknowledge associate editors Emily Merowitz, Xuzhang Fei, and Elias Sabry, who also handle C5 papers. Retiring as C5 associate editors at the end of this year are Michelle DaCosta, Brian Horgan, and Kevin Frank. Taking their place will be Doug Soldat, Jim Baird, and Ben Worley, who have agreed to serve as associate editors for 3 terms beginning in 2015. Again, we all thank them for their contributions toward making Crop Science a premier scientific journal.
Thank you, Dale.
Zach, this does not count as an oral presentation.
Okay. Everything's funny until it happens to you. All right, Applied Turf Grass Science Update. In the calendar year of 2014, we had 23 articles. We're doing a calendar year calculation now compared to in the past. We did essentially meetings to meetings. Overall, our acceptance rate is 59%, so a little bit higher this year. In terms of days to publication, takes 42 days to the first decision, and there is an interaction there between senior editor and first decision interaction. We had some problems with our email. One of the senior editors was using his spouse's email, and so we've gone away from Liz Goatley at yahoo.com. Where's Mike at? Is Mike here? He's taking a beating today. And so there's a little problem there, but we got that figured out. It takes about 68 days to the final decision, and then once you got the final decision, it takes 7 days. We put it on first look, and then about 4 or 5 weeks after that to get the official posting or your DOI. And so overall, it's about 100 days from submission to DOI. These are our editors, and I'd like to thank everybody. I'm not going to go through the list. Certainly appreciate it. Senior editors, Megan is retiring, but we have 3 new ones. And then we have a bunch of associate editors. I certainly appreciate everybody's help with that. It takes a lot of time, and if anybody would like to be an associate editor, please let me know. I can get you on the list. Trying to spread the workload because all of these people have papers to prepare for at next year's meeting, according to Dr. Patton. And so we need some extra editors. All right, a couple of things that changed this year. Had a couple of papers that came in with some experimental use chemicals or experimental use herbicides. And in the past, we've always been focused on products that are available to the practitioners. And so it's kind of a gray area, but we've made a slight policy change. We're still a very applied, practical journal. There's no qualms about that. We're going to stay very applied, but we will start taking manuscripts that with products that are pretty dang close to availability to the end user. And so there's a lot of verbiage up there, but it's going to be based on the opinion of the chief editors, but we are going to accept journals or manuscripts with some experimental products. A couple things about where we've been at. As you all know, CSSA has taken over for PMN as of July 1st last year. Came under full management on January 1st. There's been a few minor adjustments to instructions to authors. Overall, it's gone very well. We're still fighting with the impact factor. And as Eric said, we are combining 3 digital
journals into crop, forage, and turfgrass management, and that will be combined as of January 1st. And there should be absolutely no change to what you all see as either authors or reviewers or senior editors. This is all a background thing, but the primary, the only reason is so we can work down that path for an impact factor. We needed to build the number of articles. And with the three journals, we should be publishing somewhere around 100 per year, more or less. And so that is really the only reason why we're going to do it. Everything else should stay the same. We're going to have chief editors, three chief editors, one for turf, one for crops, one for forage. We'll still have turf-focused senior editors and turf-focused associate editors. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Zach.
Questions? Any questions from the group? Okay. I stayed under my 3 minutes.
Great. Thank you. Go ahead, Jeff. You're a pro.
Okay. We had a wonderful educational symposium this morning. Thank you all for participating. Thank you all for attending. The education committee at this meeting was a little bit thin, but did visit with a couple folks related to that. If you are interested in those kinds of issues, please contact me. I think that all of us are under some different pressures at our institutions related to undergraduate education right now, and some conversations among the folks that are primary teaching load is probably a positive thing. But we'll be ready for next year, and I'll go from there.
All right. Thank you, Cale.
All right. Susanna Mia-Lewis will be discussing the symposia.
I knew I had to kick it up a notch after Cale, so I put slides together. Wait.
Go page down.
There.
Oh, no. Page.
There we go. Okay. So the symposium committee's job is to come up with topics for the symposium, for next year's symposium. You're supposed to submit, to put together 5 to 6 ideas, then vote on those so that you can pick the top two and pass those forward to the C5 chair. Last year, we were a little bit too creative because we ended up with a list of 12 topics that looked like a laundry list. But we were able to narrow it down to 2 and then pass those on to Doug. And we picked up some support from C6. They were very interested in a joint symposium, so that's how the genetic engineering symposium got chosen. The symposium was held yesterday afternoon. I think at the peak of attendance, we had about 130 people, so it was very well attended. I think the lowest was like 50 people. We had a lot of attendance from the 4-H division, so that was pretty good, some big guys there present. We had 6 presenters to give updates on what has been created on GE. We talked about, you know, issues on regulation of GE crops. And then at the end, there was a round table where we discussed some of those issues. Big thanks on putting the symposium together. Of course, the presenters, most of them actually came to California just for the symposium, so that was pretty nice of them. Committee members who helped put ideas together and organize the symposium. Twain Butler, who's the chair of the C6 symposium committee, he helped me a lot actually in picking the names of speakers from the 4-H crowd. All of those who contributed ideas. Paul Raymer, who was the presider of the session and did a pretty good job at keeping things under control, right? Rowdy crowd. And, of course, biggest thanks go to Doug, who helped us work through the details. Symposium committee membership. Actually, last year we had a lot of people in the committee, believe it or not. Yes, we had extra volunteers, so we had to held off a couple of people who wanted to join. There's 3 committee members who are rotating off this year, so that makes room for two incoming members, Karen Herrett-Schultz with the USDA RIS, and then David Hahn is also coming on. I think there's space for one more if we have volunteers, so let me know. And I'm happy to announce that Jared Hoyle has agreed to serve as the next chair. And as you can see, we tried to keep it a pretty good mix of different areas being covered in that committee. Last but not least, this is the time of year where we pick topics. Actually, believe it or not, the most amount of work that is done by the symposium committee happens in November, December. There's a lot of emails going back and forth on what topics we're going to choose for next year. So if you have suggestions, please forward those to any of the committee members, to me, Jared, or even Doug, or Kelly Cobb, so that we can start working on that list of topics and then narrow it down for next year. Okay? Thank you.
Thank
Thank you, Susanna, for all your efforts. All right, Dr. Munshaw with the Turfgrass Science Policy and Engagement Committee report.
Thanks, Doug. So this is formerly the Extension Committee, and this year we solely worked with the National Arboretum and specifically the Grassroots exhibit. So pretty much all this signage that you see as part of that exhibit, as well as the webpage material, went through this committee for review. It was a lot of work, and it actually got to the point where whenever I got an email from Kevin Morris, I cringed. But I appreciated the work, I appreciated the work of this committee, and I know Kevin and the folks at the National Arboretum did as well. Committee consists of Eric Miltner with Koch Industries, Aaron Patton at Purdue, Doug Sold at Wisconsin, Gwen Stanke at Walla Walla Community College, Jim Brosnan at Tennessee, Justin Moss at Oklahoma State, Kelly Kopp at Utah State, Mark Schmidt at John Deere, Patrick McCullough at Georgia, and Paul Johnson at Utah State. Thanks.
Greg.
Dr. Kaminsky and the webpage committee report.
Most important report. Okay, as an update, about 2 years ago I was asked to take over the web committee. It's very difficult to update the C5 website, and you have very limited ability to modify it to look good. So we created a blog, which is really a website, and all of that information feeds into the C5 official page. We also have a website or a Facebook page and a new Twitter page or Twitter account this year. CSSA Turf is the Twitter account. The big news, I think, is that I'm looking for 2 to 3 new people that would like to assist in continuing to provide timely updated information for all of those activities. We have them pretty integrated together, so they all hit each other. But it starts to become overwhelming to post all the job announcements and recent papers and email blasts and everything. So if anybody is interested and has any background or doesn't have a background but wants to learn a little bit about it, just email me or get in touch with me some way, and we'll integrate you into that. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, John.
All right. Next on the agenda, Bob Harriman in the Industry Committee report.
Okay, Doug already mentioned our mixer on Sunday night. Last year, if you remember, we had food and booze. This year, due to the cost, we had to restrict it to just the booze. What's new in Indiana? Next year, hopefully Minnesota will be cheaper so we can get some food. We split that cost with C5, so Doug picks up half of it, and we pick up the other half. Anyway, maybe we can squeeze our industry sponsors and kick it up and find some way to fix that. Dan, I didn't see Dan. Anyway, Dan coordinated the talks on Sunday night, so thanks to Dan for doing that. We only had 3 this year. We had 7 last year. Who knows what we'll have next year? I guess it depends on all of us in the industry to come up with some cool products and cool topics. I do want to take a minute real quick. This is not only for industry folks. If you've got something, our friends in academia have got something you want to share more broadly, we usually have a pretty good turnout. We certainly invite you all to come and bring any kind of hot topics or whatnot and take that opportunity in 5-10 minutes to update all of us. One of the great things that we in industry have a ton of fun with is bringing graduate students out on Sunday night. I think we had another 25 this year. That's been our going rate over these last several years, so I know we all enjoy that. We recruit colleagues to do so. And we would like actually to get more folks on the industry committee so that we can hopefully get even more grad students out. So any volunteers out there, please send me an email, give me a call, whatnot. We'd love to add you on the committee. We're all getting long in the tooth, so we need some new folks, young blood for sure. And Eric is going to be presenting the winners for the graduate student competition. Gary. Gary's the man. Every year he coordinates all of the incoming emails, divides folks up based on our expertise and with the students' interests. And we can't lose Gary for that because I don't think anybody wants to pick up that duty. And last but not least, Eric will give an update on who we had for winners. I don't even know that. I don't think Leah even knows who the winners were for the industry committee folks.
Leah
knows everything. That is very true. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
On behalf of C5, thank you for everything your committee does and the funds you raise to take the students to dinner. I know that's much appreciated. Okay, Student Affairs Committee Report. John Trappi.
Thank you very much. There actually isn't that much new news from last year. We do actually have two new faculty advisors, Bill Kreuzer and Matt Elmore, so thank you very much for agreeing to assist this committee. There is some interest in conducting a graduate student luncheon, so we're going to see about getting the ball rolling on that, as well as maybe picking up a sponsor would be very much appreciated. Speaking of, the graduate students are extremely gracious for the feedback that they've been receiving for within the graduate student competition. Hopefully that's reflective in the improvement of the presentations and posters. So we'd like to say thank you very much for all the judges and for that feedback. So with that, that's all I have.
Thank you, John.
All right, when it was brought to my attention last year that we needed to have another fundraising golf tournament because we were going to be in Long Beach, I decided the first thing I needed to do was delegate. So I really appreciate all the work that Dr. Richardson's done in arranging the golf event this year.
Okay, thanks, Doug. And it was a little bit of work on occasion, but it was a lot of fun, and I appreciate all the folks that helped make it such a great success again this year. I want to first recognize the folks that were on the committee. We held the golf tournament on Sunday out at Oak Creek in Irvine, and we had some of this fabulous Southern California weather, a great outing. I think we had 44 golfers total, so just really had a lot of fun. But I want to thank all the folks on the committee, Trey Rogers, who helped secure the golf course, Dave Gardner, Mark Mahatty, Frank Wong, and Larry Stowell, and myself, who did most of the arm twisting for sponsorships. And again, we had a great turnout and a great group of sponsors this year. I wanted to recognize those. I made Doug carry that poster all the way over here. I think it's still leaning against the wall back there in the back, so I apologize for that. We'll get that put up somewhere where you can see. But these are all the sponsors, competition sponsors that sponsored the all the hole competitions, closest to the hole, long drive, hole sponsors. You can see all those there. And then other donors that gave a little or gave a lot. So, again, we appreciate all of that because it was really a very successful day and a successful event. Just to give you a little update on where the Stigler Fund is in terms of fundraising efforts, these numbers may not be exactly correct, but they're pretty close. The account balance at the end of September was at $72,900. We will be dispersing or have already dispersed $6,000 to six graduate student winners this year. So that will reduce the fund a little bit. But the golf tournament had a net income of right around $24,000. We still don't know the exact expenses yet, but it's going to be somewhere pretty close to that. So we're really excited about being able to contribute another $24,000 to this fund. So I think we're going to be somewhere right there around $90,000 or $91,000 after this meeting is over. So, again, it's incredible the support that this group has had for this fund to remember Chris and his work, and then to, again, encourage and recognize all the young scholars that are in our group and the work that they do as graduate students. And it's really amazing. So, again, thank you to all of you. It was a really bittersweet year for me to come here. This was the last place I saw Chris alive, was at this meeting in 2010. So it was very sad, but I can tell you, this is a legacy for Chris, and I appreciate everything you've done. And he had one other legacy that I wanted to share with you this morning. That's his little daughter, who's now 4 years old, and survived the crash that took her mom and dad. So, thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, as most endowed things, the more the better. Obviously, we've reached a point where we're dispersing what I would consider to be a very nice group of scholarships every year, six $1,000 scholarships. Is that sustaining if we don't raise any more money?
It'll be close. So I think the goal of the committee was we wanted to be up over $100,000, and then we felt that would probably be sustaining to give the amount of awards that we are currently giving. Probably next year in Minnesota we won't play golf, but we're going back to warm weather. Are we Tampa or
Phoenix?
Year after next, so we may make one more run at a golf tournament to see if we can get that fund just a little bit.
John has suggested a curling tournament.
A curling tournament. That sounds good. Yes, John.
I recommend we try to get the bowling green there at that Frederick Club.
I would be all for that as well. That's pretty awesome. Maybe cold at the bowling green, that's it. So. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, that's a really good segue into our Spiegler Award Committee, Joey Young and Kelly Kopp.
All right, thanks, Doug. I like Mike. I was actually a student at Arkansas whenever I started at Arkansas. Chris was still a PhD student, and I think you all who have colleagues that you worked with at your schools, that relationship between those that are above you is a pretty special relationship. And so it was a huge honor for myself to be chair of this committee and to work with a good group of colleagues on selecting the award winners for this year. And so Mike kind of went over the financial state of the endowment itself, and so after we provide these awards, we're probably looking at about $86,000 in that endowment. We ended up with about 22 applicants from numerous universities. They were all very strong applicants. It was a very difficult job for us as a committee to distinguish and pick up who the best applicants were. We were able to choose six different winners. We have four PhD students this year and two master's students that will each be receiving $1,000 travel awards for assistance with their travel to this meeting. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started with announcing our winners. Our first winner is Felipe Audier.
Felipe, we do have checks this year.
Second winner, Zane Roddenbush, Kansas State. Third winner is Charles Fontenier from Texas A&M. Our fourth winner is Norma Floor from the University of Florida. And for our master's students, first we have Benton Hodges from Mississippi State University. And then lastly, we have Clint Maddox, Oregon State University. Clint was not going to be able to be here today due to some extension activities that he had planned before, but is Alec here? Yeah, you want to come up and get his check for him? I'd also like to thank our committee members, Kelly Kopp, Jay McCurdy, David Gardner, and then our industry representative was Dustin Lewis. So thank you all for your help.
Thanks, Joey.
All right, all of you Stigler Award winners, don't run off right away after the meeting and start spending that money. We would like to take a picture of all of you together to share with the Stigler family. So once the meeting's over, please meet us in the back of the room for a photo opportunity. Okay, next on the agenda, Dr. Bruce Clark with an update on the International Turfgrass Society.
Thanks, Doug. For those of you who are not familiar with some of the graduate students, ITS is a nonprofit-based scientific organization established in 1969 to encourage research, education, and turfgrass science. It holds conferences every 4 years. The last one was in Beijing in July of 2013. We have a newsletter that comes out every 2 months. And Nathaniel Walker is the newsletter editor. And if you have any members who have contributions, please give those to Nathaniel at the address below. And for those who are not members, you can contact John Cesar or go to the website for the society to join. Sort of an update on the board members. We have 20 directors from 16 countries. Your U.S. representatives will be myself as president, John Cesar as treasurer, Mike Bonanza as secretary. Jim Murphy and Gwen Stanky are the two U.S. representatives, and Jim also doubles as the incoming ITRJ, the editor of the International Turfgrass Research Journal. Sort of an update on the coming meeting in 2017. We'll be hosting it in at the Hyatt Regency in New Brunswick, New Jersey. It's about 30 miles from New York City. The mid-conference planning meeting for this, where we get all the specifics, while we report to you next year. It's going to be held this coming July. And we have several new items. One is an opportunity to publish ITS papers in an impact factor journal, and I'll mention that a little bit more in a minute. As far as more highlights of the meeting, this is the first time we've held it in the U.S. since 1994. We're expecting quite a big meeting. The focus definitely will be on access to New York City. There'll be a lot of tours going in, both accompanying persons tours as well as professional tours going in throughout the week. We're also going to focus on graduate student, undergraduate student and oral and poster presentations, competitions, much like C5. So it's really trying to attract a lot of graduate students and undergrads to this meeting. The Wednesday field tours will be quite exciting. There'll be three different tours, a golf, a sports field and sod tours, some highlights listed up here. We're going to culminate with a barbecue at one of the Rutgers turf farms and replacing the rubber chicken banquet dinner with a Thursday banquet cruise. And in fact, my wife and I took a dry run. Someone had to do that. And it was quite a nice ship. I think we can fill this with our group. There's dinner, dancing. The food was fantastic. You circle the Statue of Liberty. You circle New York City. And this is a view from my phone camera. So I think hopefully you're... this is going to be, we're trying to make this a really memorable meeting. Some updates from Jim Murphy as the editor-in-chief of the RTIJ. He canvassed the members of the society, and a lot of them were very interested in impact factor for ITRC papers. Members were calling for possibly an annual journal with an impact factor. Straw poll at the quadrennial meeting in Beijing indicated equal support for both annual journal versus a current quadrennial publication, and a very strong consensus to have the publication go digital. And that's what we're going to be handing out a CD at the meetings. We're going to have the opportunity, after talking to Jim, I think we're close to working this out, having selected papers being included in a special journal edition, possibly of the Agronomy Journal. And then last but not least, some timelines. Timelines for research papers will include a call for papers in September of next year. Title summaries due in November. Manuscripts due May 1st. Manuscript reviews back to the authors July 1st of 2016. Revised manuscripts due September 1st with the reviews back by November 1st. And a final manuscript version due February 1st, 2017. It sounds like a long time away, but it's really, the meeting is only 2.5 years away. And then also there are also short communications opportunities. These are submissions due by September 1st, 2016, reviews back November 1st, final revisions February 1st, and then the CDs will come out at the meetings on July 15th to 22nd. So mark your calendars, and I hope you'll all attend.
All right. Thank you, Bruce.
Looking forward to that cruise. Okay, Dr. McElroy, European Turfgrass Society update.
I wanted to take a minute to say something about the ETS. So as many of you know who have attended the European Turfgrass Society meetings, the even years are actually our standard educational meetings that we have on even years and on odd years. We have actually field day events, so we're coming up on an odd year. And in early October of next year, we'll actually have a field day event. It's a two-day event, actually a day and a half, that will occur in Copenhagen, organized by Annemette Dahl Jensen, who will actually be organizing that event at the University of Copenhagen, in Copenhagen. And
There will also be a two-day, I'm not really sure how it's going to work out, but they're organizing a two-day fescue workshop type symposium that is actually going to occur in conjunction with that. So it may end up being about a 3.5-day event at this time. We're still working out for the next upcoming meeting that will occur as far as the location, and it's really coming down to a couple of locations, probably going to be in the Netherlands, but right now that's still being worked out. I encourage everyone, if you can, to attend the ETS. It's still a very young event, group, and that is beginning to solidify its position in the European committee, community and worldwide as an organization focused on turfgrass science and research and education. As Americans who go to that event, we have the opportunity to really contribute to the growth and sustainability of that society, understanding, of course, that very different from what Dr. Clark just talked about with the ITS as an international organization. I always try to make the point that in the European committee, in the European community, we are observers, and we're glad to be there and enjoy such wonderful food and wonderful locations that they have for meetings, and to support them, and hopefully that they will have continued success in the effort with this society. So I always try to make that point to people as well, but I encourage everyone to attend, and you can talk to anyone who's ever attended. The locations, the sites are great, and it's normally an excellent, normally it's always an excellent meeting. I encourage everyone to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.